On March 31st, 2022, Expo 2020 Dubai closed its gates forever and began its transformation into District 2020, a new urban center on the outskirts of Dubai. In honor of the closing of Expo, we bring you one of our most popular episodes to date, Voices of Expo. If you had the opportunity to get to the World's Fair, you'll appreciate hearing directly from several pavilion hosts and perhaps provide a different perspective to your own experience. If you didn't manage to make it to the UAE this year, this episode provides great insight on what took place over the last 6 months. Enjoy.
I want them to change their idea about and the image that they have about Iraq. We have a very rich culture of art, of everything, you know, we're a very rich country, so they need to see it and they need to understand it's not the same as it's being exposed sometimes in media.
I'm your host, Philip Hernandez, and on today's episode of Impact Tracks, we take you to Expo 2020 Dubai to hear the voices of three people who have traveled from different corners of the world to work at the Expo. Impact Magazine publisher Martin Pilecki visited Expo recently and has been sharing insights, reports, and feedback from Dubai on ImparkMagazine.com. Be sure to check back often as new Expo content is in the works. For this episode, I'm turning the mic over to Martin. Let's join him for this trip around the World's Fair.
Expo 2020 Dubai boasts 192 participating countries, each with their own pavilion. Over half the pavilions are housed in small, boxy buildings in the central portion of Expo's three themed areas: sustainability, mobility, and opportunity. Even though these countries have smaller spaces to work with, many of them have fascinating exhibits, such as the Syria Pavilion, which introduces visitors to the world's first alphabet and the first known written song, which is actually the music we've been listening to here. The remaining roughly 70 country pavilions are all in architecturally unique buildings custom designed for Expo. These are the pavilions that many Expo visitors talk about and seek out. But we wanted to get the perspective from people who work in the pavilions, find out what Expo means to them, and maybe even learn why having an Expo is important in the first place. Our first stop is Iraq's pavilion. It's a simple yet effective concept. A wave-like canopy is perched above a series of LED walls of differing widths and heights that are connected together to create this sort of kind of a crooked hallway. The LED walls represent the paths of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and the height of each screen corresponds to the water level at that point in the river. Around the pavilion, there's a series of markers in the ground that demarcate the borders of Iraq, which give visitors an immediate sense of the importance of the two rivers to the entire country. Guides take guests on a short tour between the two rivers, pointing out landmarks and highlights that appear on the LED walls. At the end of the tour, visitors can also explore pieces from Iraqi artists. Here's one of the tour guides explaining her role in her own words.
So my name is Sara Al-Qaisi. I've been in here after the opening of the pavilion. So around, let's say, mid of October, I started working here as a hostess or as a tour guide for our visitors. We give them a tour about the pavilion and tell them about the monuments that we have in our country.
I should probably mention here that the voice you heard responding to Sara is that of Tina Kreitlow. You'll hear her throughout this episode. She helped coordinate all the interviews for us at Expo 2020 Dubai. Anyway, Sara, like many Expo workers, was quite excited to share information about her country with others. As one can imagine, many people, particularly those of us from Western countries, have notions that are based on a narrative that other countries have crafted for Iraq. Expo provides a space for countries and people to share their own stories.
I want them to change their idea about and the image that they have about Iraq, because I've had many comments like, I wish you could wear the same in Iraq. I'm like, I do wear the same in Iraq, so it's not like it's an uncivilized, let's say, country or something. Right. No, we do. Like, I wear like that. So I want to change the image of Iraq, tell them that we have some really nice monuments and they're the oldest civilization that ever existed. Tell them about what we have and they can also actually come and visit and see them and see everything that we are presenting in here. We have a very rich culture of art, of everything, you know, we're a very rich country. So they need to see it and they need to understand it's not the same as it's being exposed sometimes in media.
And by the way, that desire for understanding and gaining knowledge about other countries is very much a two-way street.
When I've been looking around the pavilions, many things I did not understand about countries. And to be honest with you, some countries I did not know that they ever exist. And I've seen their pavilions, and I'm like, oh wow, there's actually a country that's called like that. And then I go inside and it's a very nice country. Mm-hmm. So I think it's also very important because you get to know about a brief culture, a brief idea about each country as you walk in.
Interestingly and appropriately, Sarah is actually an architect, so she also understands why architecture is such an important part of the Expo Pavilion experience.
Like, it's amazing. I go and I see each and every pavilion is different than the rest, and like, they have very nice details, and they incorporated their culture or their country in very modern way. Like, for example, Bahrain. Mm-hmm. Wow, if you've been inside, mm-hmm. the lighting inside is insane. I was like, wow.
Another architecturally stunning pavilion, and the second stop on our tour, can be found at the Netherlands. It's industrial, it's imposing, it's a building that's constructed entirely of these giant metal sheets, like what you would see being used to build a marina or a breakwater. It's sort of a rather curious building material.
I can tell you all about it. My name is Magnus. I just finished my Master's Studies in Management of Innovation. I came here to represent the Netherlands for 6 months at Expo. Are you familiar with the Palm Island in Dubai?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a Dutch company was involved in building the Palm Island. So that's why we showcase him here. So, you know, they use that to separate the water from the land, and suck the water out and fill it with sand to build the palm design and the world islands.
Unlike Iraq, which is telling a story mostly about their own country, the Netherlands Pavilion strives to create a conceptual experience that's really focused on one of Expo's core themes, sustainability, while of course also promoting Dutch companies and Dutch ingenuity. Once inside the pavilion, visitors see a pre-show depicting how water, energy, and life are all interconnected. Visitors are handed white umbrellas and then enter into the heart of the pavilion. It's the inside of this giant cone-shaped structure that basically goes to the ceiling and above of the huge pavilion. As the main show starts, the guests are instructed to open their umbrellas, and then they see a video projected directly onto their own sort of private umbrella-turned movie screen. They learn that the entire pavilion is designed as a way and as an example of capturing solar energy, extracting water, and using both to grow food.
So what we present is a large innovation to Expo in the world, to showcase our knowledge of sustainability. So we present a solution, you know, how can you generate water in the desert where it barely rains? So the Netherlands built a machine, a patented innovation in the roof that using solar energy can extract the humidity of the air. And that humidity through condensation generates water, liters of water. So around 800 and 1,000 liters of water are generated every single day.
Wow.
And we use that water to give life to a vertical farm of plants, mm-hmm. symbolic of our knowledge and sustainability, vertical farming. So you can find basil, mint, asparagus, tomatoes, and they're all edible.
The Netherlands Pavilion is one of many conceptual pavilions at Expo, but it's one of the best examples of combining entertainment and information into a solutions-focused format, creating a blueprint for how to live sustainably in challenging environments. The final stop on our brief Expo tour takes us to the Pavilion of Pakistan. Whereas the Netherlands was kind of imposing and metallic, the whimsical and colorful exterior of Pakistan is quite inviting. Inside, guests get to explore the sights, sounds, and smells of Pakistan. And let me tell you, the smell of the rose petals soaking in water in the pavilion is amazing. Similar to both Iraq and the Netherlands, we were easily able to find a worker who was excited to share the experience of her homeland and who helps describe the pavilion experience.
My first name's Amna. So far, you've seen the cultural, the topography, the history of the land in space one as you entered. And now, once you move forward, you're going to see the current situation of Pakistan, currently in terms of technology and what we have in future in store and what projects are going on in terms of global warming and all of that.
Like many other pavilions, Pakistan uses Expo as an educational opportunity to help people better understand everything that the country has to offer.
The one thing that we actually get a lot of feedback on after they finish the tour of the pavilion is that we didn't know that Pakistan had such diversity, whether it was in terms of the landscapes, in terms of the religions, the culture. It was so deep and so rich in history that people didn't know all of that. So they're very surprised to see this face of Pakistan.
Amna is also proud of everything Pakistan has accomplished, and Expo provides a perfect opportunity to share that with the world.
So considering my age, 20 years back, and now if I see the current situation, there's so much more of women empowerment happening. There's so much more development in the education field and all of that happening. It's amazing.
It really is amazing, and it is precisely that sense of pride that Pavilion staff have for their homelands that makes Expo so special. Yes, of course, Expo is a showcase for technology and art and architecture. Yes, the experiences, entertainment, and food are a major part of Expo. But the best part of being at Expo is having this opportunity to meet and interact with people from all around the world. The type of interactions that we had with Sarah, Magnus, and Amna were replicated time and time again across Expo. There simply is no other place where one can connect with so many different people and cultures in a single day. Particularly as we become more accustomed to virtual interactions with one another, we cannot underestimate how important it is to meet someone new face-to-face or mask-to-mask and share our experiences, share our knowledge, and share our passions. I believe that this is the heart of Expo, and it's a core value of what Expo 2020 Dubai brings to the world.
This has been In Park Tracks, the audio companion to In Park Magazine. For more information to sign up for a free subscription, visit inparkmagazine.com/subscribe. In Park Tracks is a production of In Park Magazine. Our executive producers are Philip Hernandez and Martin Palicki. This episode was edited by Martin Palicki with post-production by David Swope. The In Park staff includes Judith Rubin, Joe Kleiman, and Jordan Zuha. Music used in this episode, in order, includes Seya, the Ancient Modern Peoples of Syria, Farhad Farhangi, Biso, Sergei Quadrado, and the music playing now is the official Expo 2020 Dubai song, This Is Our Time.